and welcome to another episode of the ISCN podcast, the podcast of the International Smart Cities Network. My name is Leah Hemmetsberger, and my guest today is Yuka Sugawa, Deputy Director of the Plateau Project at the Japanese Ministry for Land, Infrastructure, Transport and Tourism. The ministry is promoting the development of digital twins for cities and towns across the country. With Plateau, the ministry brings together cities, science and industry to develop new ideas on how to harness the power of city twins, from park management to improving emergency responses. Currently, more than 200 cities are part of the project and close to 100 are onboarding at the moment. But let's hear it all from Yuka. Hello, Yuka Sugawa. I'm so happy to have you here today on the ISCN podcast, the podcast of the International Smart Cities Network. A very warm welcome to you.
And, thank you so much.
Thanks. Great having you, honestly. Before we dive right into the questions that we've prepared, can you please introduce yourself and what you do to the audience?
Okay. Hi, everyone. Nice to meet you. I'm from Japan, and my name is Yuka, and my working in the MLIT, Ministry of Land, Infrastructure, Transport and Tourism in the government of Japan. And I'm doing currently the Digital Twin Initiative in Japan, whose name is Project Plateau. And I'm directing this project right now. Happy to talk with you.
Thank you, Yuka. I'm really looking forward to hear all about Plateau in a moment. It sounds like a really, really interesting project that you have been setting up in the Japanese government. Before we dive into talking about digital twins and city replicas, I wanted to know, what is your favorite place in Tokyo, in the real environment? I would be curious to know.
Oh, interesting questions. I personally like hopping the bars. I sometimes drop by a lot of places. So I like the kind of bar hopping areas such as Ginza, Shinbashi, and I think the one of the famous places is a Golden Guy in Shinjuku, where international tourists sometimes goes. I like the atmosphere of the bars, and also food and drink and everything, the people's vibes. And so one of the recommendations is bar hopping and enjoy
the... So you like the areas that are always a bit full with people and where there's a lot of interaction.
I can still enjoy just walking along the streets in that area.
Cool. So we will take this up as a recommendation in the real environment, but now let's dive into the digital environment, I would say. So you are a project manager, senior deputy director, actually, at the International and Digital Policy Division at the Ministry of Land, Infrastructure, Transport and Tourism in Japan. It's a very long title and name. And the ministry set up the project that you just mentioned, Plateau, in 2019 already, so 5 years ago. What is the program about?
So our project covers the creating data as open data and also develop solutions, I mean the use cases, to tackle social issues such as environmental management and disaster risk mitigation and so on, and climate change as well. And also we are raising the data community, where the people use our Plateau data. And also we support the local cities to implement 3D city models, which we are making.
So you as a government are actually producing also 3D images for the digital twins.
Yeah.
And these can be used by all cities.
Yeah, it's a stakeholder. But we are kind of financing, subsidizing them, and also try to make it as much automated as possible, technically.
Oh, when you say as much automated as possible, can you explain a little bit more what you mean by that?
So the 3D city model very complicated when we are creating. So we try to make it less expensive by the automation process, automationing process. So since the data is created from the area surveys and the urban base map, and now we are the people are manually making the map, 3D map, but we are trying to automating those processes in the future.
Okay, that sounds like a very helpful thing to do as well, not just in Japan, yeah. I would say. You already said a little bit about sort of the reasons why the Plateau program was joined, environmental challenges, but also climate challenges and an aging society. Like, is this the main reason why you're focusing so much on urban digital twins, mm-hmm. or do mm-hmm. you have sort of other policy backgrounds as well?
So the main light, the answer is yes. But if I add some information, so the Project Plateau is led by the City Bureau, which are working for urban planning, development, and urban management. So we are trying to digitalize the urban planning and development process using data. So Plateau Project is one of those policies coming from those policies aspects. But also, we believe that since we are under the aging population and we are always facing the natural disaster risk, we have a lot of urban issues these days. And the population and the budget financial resources are also decreasing. So we have to tackle those issues with less cost. And I think the data will help us. So that's okay. The main reasons we are working for.
That sounds reasonable. I was just wondering, when you said you have urban issues in Japan and the cities, can you give us an example of what you mean by that?
So for example, we have a lot of natural earthquakes. We have to prepare for that to mitigate disaster damage. So the urban data is helpful to estimate and predict what happens when the earthquakes hit. So this is one of the examples. And also we are these days having a lot of more and more heavy rains, especially in the summer, during the summer. So we also have to predict what happens when the heavy rain hits the city and if the ground can absorb the water. For example, the station, our metro station is sink is under the water if the heavy rain comes very quickly. So we are also trying to kind of calculate the damage estimation using that Plateau data, since the Plateau data includes the urban structure very precisely, which helps us simulate.
That sounds quite interesting. I mean, also in Europe, we see more and more sort of these torrential rains, and it has pretty crazy impacts as well on on life. And so it's quite interesting that you are using digital twins also to simulate and to predict what is happening when a lot of rain comes down or when an earthquake happens. I think this is quite interesting also for what we're seeing in Europe at the moment, and I guess all around the world. You also mentioned that one of the main challenges in Japan is the aging society. People are getting older and not so many young people are coming afterwards. How can actually digital urban twin help to address this challenge? I'm quite curious to learn more about this.
Yeah, that's a good question. So let me briefly add some context in the local cities. So the local cities have less population these days for the past years. So they have to change the urban structure. So they are densifying the urban structure into the city center. But we don't know, local governments doesn't predict how they should act for the urban urban planning change, and what happens if the population, like the commercial facilities, are coming to the city area. So we try to predict the effects of the densifying functions using the PATL data. Since the PATL data can work as kind of the platform of the urban information. So we are mainly dealing with the 3D map, but also the one of the values of the Project PATL is that the urban data is included, is concentrated in one data platform. So they can do the simulation in this platform. PATL data is easy to connect with other data, which is not CDGML format. So we can convert those data into the other GIS format, and also doing the simulation, adding other inputs like the population data and the public transportation network and so on.
Okay, so you basically cross-referencing different data from different domain, be it mobility.
Easy to deal with a lot of,
Interesting. Have you agreed on a certain standard to do this, like in order to pull in the different data?
So the PATL data is following OGC standard, the Open Geospatial Consortium, and the CDGML is our the PATL data's format, and which is the consistent over the Japan. So the cities, all the local cities in Japan follow this specification.
All right. And do you also use real-time data from census, for example, IoT devices? Is this also something that comes into the PLATO project?
Yeah. I think the we need some conversion, data conversion, but we can connect.
Mm-hmm. All right. Are you also following the OGC standard there, the Sensor Things API?
I think we don't really have those use cases, but we are studying those API as well.
Okay.
Developed by OGC.
Okay. That's very interesting to see, because also I think the OGC standard is quite established also in this regard.
Right.
But now you said use cases already, and that triggered me a little bit. The PLATO project features many different projects. We just heard it, like disaster response and aging society use cases. Can you tell us maybe one example of the PLATO project that you particularly like, and just get, you know, that we dive a little bit deeper into one of these use cases and understand a little bit better how it works?
Okay. So this is a case, the most famous popular cases in Japan, since almost all the local cities have issues of the earth and risks of the earthquakes. And this is a simulation, flood simulation. So when a river overflows, this system has a data visualization with the urban city, urban digital twin data, and also the height of the water. So depending on the location of the river overflowing, this system can show us the suitable evacuation routes depending on the locations. So it totally changes depending on where a river overflows. And then we can see how long it takes until the river water overflows near our evacuation places, for example. And then this system is also connected with the AR extension application. So the citizens can see how high the water height is using the smartphone. So when they when they see from the smartphone,
so you hold the height of the water on the spot, and then you see immediately with the augmented reality feature how high the water can get in a certain situation. Oh, wow. Yeah. That is pretty impressive. I mean, it sort of also sharpens everyone's awareness of how high water can get in these environments. It's pretty impressive.
Yeah, exactly.
So basically you stand there and the water is 3 meters high and you see like, oh my God, if this happens, then, you know, everything's underwater.
Oh, wow. Yeah, as time flows, we can really understand the terrifying situation. So I want to emphasize that the importance of the visualization using 3D data. Mm-hmm. Even if we know that there is a risk of the water flooding in our neighborhood, we don't really understand the risk of that. But if we have those smartphones and other other applications, we can change our behaviors. So I think that this is very effective.
All right. That sounds like a really, really interesting example. And as I mentioned before, in Europe, at least, we also saw a lot of flooding, I think also the US. And this is something that could be quite useful also to experiment and to replicate, I think, here as well.
Hope it spreads over the world.
Yeah, definitely. And we come to this later because we will also talk about the open source aspect a little bit further on. But before we do, I'm more interested also in terms of who develops these solutions, because you as a ministry, you're funding the initiatives as far as I understand, but then you work closely with private companies and local governments. And I'm just curious, why is it so important also to work so closely together with private companies?
Yeah, that's also a good question. It's very hard for us to work for those initiatives by ourselves, since the technology is very important in our project. And the technology is coming from the knowledge of the business companies and academia and the civic engagement. So that's why we are trying to engage a lot of stakeholders from the project initiation. So, and collect always request the information about what kind of technology is useful for 3D data and what kind of use cases would be available. So those communication is, I think, the core of our project.
That sounds pretty good. And also quite interesting how you also include academia and citizens as part of these projects. I think especially when you need to test user interfaces, right. I guess this is a quite important feature, is it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right.
And the local cities, if I add.
Yeah.
So the local cities are the main fields of our project. So they are the keys, also the key stakeholders.
Okay. With how many cities are you currently working, if I may ask, in Japan?
So there are 300 cities which have the portal data already. And
okay.
So the whole cities are one. Mm-hmm. And Japan have 1,700 cities in Japan, a total. So it's not the major majority, but we try to extend it until we won't try to reach it until the 500.
I mean, already 300, I think, is quite impressive. So congratulations to that success. I think this is quite good work that you've been doing. So 300 cities are using the plateau data at the moment. And also this means the 3D models and the basis for the digital twins, basically.
Mm-hmm. We are also communicating with other cities which haven't implemented 3D data yet, but interested in making 3D data. So I think it will be around 300.
That's very interesting. So at the moment, the Plateau project is running for 5 years. And I'm curious how you as a ministry are trying to make sure that the Plateau program and also the pilot cases continue also successfully. What is your strategy there?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's very hard question, but it's very important element of our project in long term, I think. And we are trying to build the ecosystem in the future, which is a data ecosystem supported by diverse stakeholders. Even if just in case, even if the government don't really engage this project, we want the stakeholders, a lot of stakeholders, in like the unawarenessly use the data and trying to build the solution use cases by themselves and make it monetize them using part of data. So this is still on the way for our side, but we want to make it more and more sustainable. I mean, make our project more and more sustainable.
Okay, so you have already, this is quite interesting for me as well, that you say you're aiming to also monetize the plateau data. Yeah. And you're sort of in the preparation phase for this. Do you think there is a market for that at the moment in Japan?
Yeah, what we are thinking right now is not only monetize the data itself, but also create a service market. I mean, where the people want to buy the service products using the Pato data, such as in the field of the, for example, the disaster risk management, of course, and the solar power potential simulation, and the transportation navigation system, and so on. So since we have been developing a lot of use cases for the business field, we want the companies to develop the use cases, business cases by themselves and sell it, just sell it.
I think that's a good approach as well, because I can imagine that many local governments don't have the resources financially, but also personally, like human resources kind of, to really implement or steer the technical implementation of these solutions. Is that like also in Japan the case? So you need private companies also to support locally.
Yeah. Yeah, that's why we are putting emphasis on the open data initiative, which the people can freely use and monetize the business.
Okay, that's pretty interesting as well. So you, on the one hand, like trying to foster and push open data, but also when we first talked, you explained to me that all the use cases of Plateau are published open source. Right. And there would be quite interesting to also understand why you've chosen to apply open source principles. Because, you know, that would be, I'd be curious to understand.
Yeah, the reason is very simple, I think. So we are believing that the open innovation is very important, not only because this is a public policy, but also we think that the open innovation is very strong in terms of the Japanese economy. So the data has to be spread very fast and very diversely, which helps the local cities and companies and so on, which is very powerful for the future of the Japan. So those kind of spreading system is what we want to create through the Open Data Initiative.
All right. And so the open source approach means that every sort of use case, every technology is in the source code being published, for example, on GitLab or GitHub in this case?
Yeah, GitHub.
Okay. And so it would mean that any company could sort of come and read into the code, trying to sort of provide them a service or add a plugin or fix bugs. So that would be sort of the approach that you're taking.
And we are also trying, aiming that to reduce the kind of digital gap between the people who can buy the data available and not. So I think the open data is also the kind of social policy, which is a bit personal opinion, though.
So you mean a social policy for as open data? Can you like explain a little bit what you mean by that?
Yeah. So data is kind of the public good. If it's coming from the public infrastructure, and we think the urban element, so the city is kind of the public good. City is not owned to the certain people, but the own to belong to the everyone. But the data, when it comes to data, it's very hard to collect and use if it's sold, for example. And not everyone cannot enjoy the value of the data. So that if the government offers the data nationally, everyone can enjoy data and think about the future through the developing the solution using data.
I like this approach. So it follows a little bit the public money, public data kind of principle mm-hmm. of the open data community. Yeah, it's pretty amazing also what you've been doing there in Japan and with the Plateau project. I'm also curious to sort of learn a little bit more about the next steps for the Plateau project. So it's running for 5 years, and I'm just wondering, so how long is it going to run? Is there like an end date to it, or how are you planning to scale also beyond the project? Do you know?
Yeah, so we have been working for this project for 5 years. Our next goal would be, I think, the 2027, when we are aiming for increasing the number of the Plateau cities to the 500. And also we are trying to transform, we try to change the CityGML 2.0 to CityGML 3.0. So we will update the version of the CityGML in 2027. So I think the 2027 is kind of the next milestone. But we try to continue this data initiative in long term, even if we change the structure of the project. For example, the Plateau data try to be surviving in the future.
Fantastic. I like to hear this because sometimes these projects are just on a very sort of short term or mid term and usually don't go beyond like 5 years or so. So I'm really happy to hear that you're planning to continue this in the long term, and that you're also already sort of having these milestone plans for 2027, mm-hmm. getting new cities and more cities on board. That's really exciting. So I'm curious mm-hmm. to see where we are in 2027. Maybe we should talk in 2 to 3 years again to see where you've sort of arrived. That would be quite, mm-hmm. quite cool. For me, it would be interesting because there is also a lot of different projects in the smart city, but also urban planning sphere, funded by governments around the world, seeing that Plateau is quite a successful project and that you're sort of also thinking long-term in terms of making it successful. I'm just wondering, what is your advice to policymakers around the world when they're planning to start similar projects in the urban mm-hmm. development sphere?
Yeah, I'm very honored to answer this question. And what I'm thinking now is one of the unique elements of our project is to engage a lot of stakeholders, as I mentioned before. So when we compare the data initiative in Japan, when we compare our project to other projects concerning data projects in Japan, I think the difference comes from this element. So I think the engaging as many stakeholders as possible is a very key approach, solid approach when other countries, for example, want to scale the data initiative. And the open data initiative was also successful. A lot of people know Plateau data when I talk with other people, for example. And everyone is like the agreeing with the open data initiative, mm-hmm. and people believe that the reason why the Plateau data is spreading so fast is the open innovation open innovation attitude. So that's what I'm recommending.
Fantastic. We will definitely note this down. Open innovation approach, open data, open source, and a lot of stakeholder management and involvement for a successful project. Now, one last question. You said 300 cities have already sort of are part of this project, and you are the director of this program. How much do you travel around Japan to meet all these cities, or are they coming to you?
Uh-huh. Oh, very frequently, actually. So I think, I have been here, I have been in this position since this June, but I have already traveled several times in Japan, and also three times globally. So I think I traveled a lot.
The Plateau Project.
Yeah, this year. Yeah, but I think the going to the local city is and talk directly with the locals, the local stakeholders, essential elements when people are directing this project, directing data project. Since the every city has different local issues and different interests and different strengths and powers. So I think this is very tough, but a very interesting process to join and manage the project.
Fantastic. Yuka Sugawa, thank you so much for being on the podcast of the International Smart Cities Network. It was a pleasure to learn more about the Plateau Project and about the importance to be on the ground with the cities, learning about their use cases, their challenges, and the importance of building a strong ecosystem. Thank you so much, Yuka Sugawa.
Thank you so much.
My main takeaway from today's conversation with Yuka is that open innovation is key to a successful urban development and digital twin project on national level. But just as important is long-term planning. Yes, we're talking beyond 5 years here, and talking to and engaging with your stakeholders, so that everyone from local government to private company is on board. Thank you for listening to the ISCN podcast, and see you at the next episode.